The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Live today, Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. They are decked out for Christmas here, Christmas specials. The food is awesome. Got a good crowd here. Come on out if you're in the area. Klondike Kate's in Newark, Delaware. All right, back to the phones in a second here. On Jalen Hurts, have we underrated a season? And your reaction, Embiid, last night, saying maybe he was just trolling everyone with no back-to-backs. I don't know. I mean, I never know what to believe with him. I just want the guy to grow up. I didn't expect him to play well last night. I'm not losing my mind that he had an off game because it was his first game back.
No, but you need to hear all the
I don't.
Extra.
I don't. I mean, either you are able to play back-to-backs or you're not. Don't put it all in the organization. It's your body. Like, you're the reason you can't play. They didn't create this out of thin air. They're trying to keep you healthy if that was how it happened. 215-592-9494. Elliot joins us 12:30. We'll get to a big Phillies rumor, the first real big one of the offseason at 1 o'clock. And, of course, your phone call. Sirianni and with his conversation with Joe and John in a few minutes. But let's play this for you first. Ross Tucker, this morning on with the morning show, Hugh, I thought it was interesting the way he framed his thought process going into tomorrow night, Eagles, Commanders, and what he hopes Jalen Hurts doesn't do tomorrow. Here's Ross this morning.
So I have a concern, actually, about all of the Jaden Daniels hype and what Chuck just said about Jalen Hurts has to step up. I hope that Jalen Hurts does not make this game about him.
I don't think he will. You worry about that?
I don't think he will either. But when you watch, there are times in a game where, like on the zone read, where it looks to me like he's making the wrong read when he pulls the ball and takes it himself. I think there are times, I don't think it's about him. I just think there are times where Hurts thinks, I got to make a play. I'm going to take it this time, and doesn't necessarily do what the play is supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, he should give it to the running back. Instead, he pulls it because he kind of predetermined he wants to run it. And I think sometimes, I just hope all the Jaden Daniels hype and even people like Chuck saying, Hurts has to outplay him. He's only a rookie. I hope Hurts does not make tomorrow night about him, because he has a better team. He doesn't need to have better stats than Daniels for them to win the game.
Hugh, I hadn't thought of it like that. That was a really interesting way that Ross framed it, that he hopes he doesn't make the game
about him,
too much about how he's playing, rather than just make the right play, do the right thing, and go win a football game.
Yeah, I don't think there's a risk of Jalen doing that, but I do understand what Ross is saying, because a lot of times, we talked about the last couple of weeks how Jalen might have missed the open throw. He still makes the throw, but I think it was Greg Cosell said he didn't get through the reads fast enough. And it was like he was a little late. It was open earlier.
He waits
and he didn't make the throw.
Yeah. Because tomorrow night is a standalone game. NFC's first place on the line.
Yeah, all tomorrow is the beginning of the NFL week.
So you could, and Kyle made the point earlier that sometimes the MVP is kind of weird the way that people vote, right? It's just based on the best team with the best quarterback. Here's the truth. The winner of tomorrow night's game, whatever quarterback wins the game, is going to be like right up at the top of MVP, right behind Lamar, right? Like that's what's going to happen after this game. So I can understand getting caught up in it. Like this is the biggest game of the season.
And the way it's being built is two young guns, two young budding stars, quarterbacks, whatever you want to call
them. Probably will play for a while in this division.
Yeah, that are going to be here. And it's, you know, Jaden is a new hotness. There's no question about that. He's a new hot quarterback. You hear all the hot takes that everybody has about him. So I think that what Ross is basically saying is he doesn't want Jalen to get caught up into that hype, thinking that he has to prove to everybody that he's the established guy instead of just going out. Just win the football game, man.
Yeah, don't play hero ball.
Do what you have to do to win the football game.
Yeah, don't play hero ball is what I heard. That I thought it was an interesting take from Ross Tucker. Let's go back to the phone lines here, including the aforementioned Chuck, who was mentioned there by Ross Tucker this morning. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Julio, what's the dealio?
What's going on?
Hey, Chuck.
Listen, Joel Embiid, he'll never win a championship here. He'll never be successful here. And it's not because he's out of shape. It's not because, you know, we don't have him around him. It's not because of the organization. It's simply because he doesn't have the mentality of a winner. And it's simple as that. And he's just showing that each and every time he goes out there on the court now. And he's stealing money. He doesn't want to play basketball anymore. That's what I feel in my heart. So I think his better days are behind him. We need to realize that and cut things. But on to what Ross Tucker said earlier, right? When I was saying Jalen has to show up in this game, he has to have the best game of the season, to me, to win this football game, Washington is going to put up points. And we can't just run to success. He's going to have to make throws that's going to be a determining factor in this game. I believe that wholeheartedly. I believe that the defense is going to hold their own against Washington's offense. But eventually, Washington is a good enough offense where so they're going to put up some points. Gabe Daniels is going to move around. He's going to make some plays. And what I'm saying is, if you're an elite quarterback, like everybody says he is, or a top 10, top 8 quarterback in his league, you show up in games like this. You can't just ride Saquon to victories every week and make one or two or three big plays, and that's it. You know, he's going to have to make plays throughout this game, like he did in the Super Bowl a couple years ago, for us to be successful. This is that type of game. We're playing better competition now. Our quarterback play has to be better. I'm not saying for him to get into the hype of being better than Jaden Daniels. I'm not saying for him to play outside of, you know, what he's used to playing. I'm just saying that I want to see my $250 million quarterback tomorrow make big plays because I know their quarterback is. And that's it. And I don't see nothing wrong with that take. You know what I mean? And Ross Tucker was right. You don't want him to play hero ball. But I'm not talking about hero ball. I'm talking about a guy that's getting paid $250 million that needs to fit the ball in the end zone us to win this football game tomorrow.
I agree, Chuck. I agree. And look, the reality is, even though the Eagles' defense is playing well, the Commanders are probably going to score some points tomorrow night. When you play big-time offenses, they find a way. So, yeah, Jalen's going to have to get them into the 20s to win this game. All right, Chuck, what do you got for us? Weird food combo.
The offense is the offensive gear lead. So, yep. I mean, you know, they're going to score points, but we need our quarterback to show up tomorrow because I know there is it. So that's just that. But a weird food combo, you got to try this. You go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, right? And I got my kids loving it, too. Get a McFlurry, a vanilla one, and get some of those French fries. You got that salty, sweetie taste to it. Oh, it was real, real good. Real good. Try it. French fries.
Not really
and a
that
McFlurry.
Weird, though.
McFlurry and fries. It's not that weird.
Well, he's got the wrong fast food establishment.
Sweet. Yeah. It's like, listen. It's,
what do you mean? That's
fries and a frosty,
frosty,
dude, from
yeah,
Wendy's.
Yeah, that's fries and a frosty.
But he's doing it with the McFlurry.
Yeah, it's not as good.
And frosty.
Well, maybe that makes it weird. I'm trying to break down the answer.
Well, he was trying to tell us how good it was. I don't.
I mean, maybe it is. Have you ever done it?
It is. Fries and a Frosty?
No, we've all done fries and the Frosty. Have you done the McFlurry and the Frosty?
Okay, can we imagine that it's much different?
Well, the McFlurry's, it is different. It's more of ice cream than the the Frosty's more of like a, you know, half milkshake, half fries.
It's the same spirit.
Yeah, it's the exact same spirit. I agree with that. All right, before we go any further here, let's hear from Nick Sirianni. He was on this morning with Joe and John. Usually they're kind of talking about the game from before, the game that was just played. This one spun more forward. Tomorrow night, the Eagles and the Commanders. Here's Sirianni with the morning show today.
Right now, good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning,
Coach.
Nick. So, Nick, a five-game winning streak. You know, I know you're not a victory lap kind of guy, but I just got to ask. It's got to be particularly satisfying with the way you were personally dragged through the mud, both locally and nationally. I mean, you got to feel a little something there, right?
Hey, we're just excited. We're playing good right now, and you know, we're looking forward to getting another opportunity, you know, tomorrow on a short week. And so, No, just put your head down. You continue to work, and you know when you put the work in, you got the right people going in the building. Good things are going to happen.
Nick, what's the biggest challenge with coaching on the short week for a Thursday nighter?
Yeah, sleep.
We know that game.
What are the numbers that we're talking about here? Sleep-wise.
It's not good. It's not, you know, they what do they recommend? The 7 hours a day? We're not even close to that. But, you know, the biggest challenge is just, you know, putting the guys in positions to succeed as far as, you know, with limited time to do so, right? As far as, like, you don't want to do too much. You don't want to, you know, put in a bunch of new things because you don't have time to rep it and or to practice it. So it's just being strategic of, you know, the things that you're going to put in the game plans, and, you know, just again, getting the guys ready, you know, always worrying that, you know, I know we're not sleeping, but, you know, making sure the guys are sleeping and then making sure their bodies are right. So there's a lot of things that go into it, a lot of different, you know, things that go into making sure that everything's right as far as them mentally. And then just trying to get them as well rested as we possibly can physically.
Nick, is it fair to say it's an extra challenge when it's a quarterback and a good one who you've never faced before? Like Brandon Graham, who's faced almost everybody, has never faced this guy. I got to imagine that makes it a little bit more complex on a short week.
I think this is a good football team, and anytime you're playing a good football team, it's going to be challenging. And he's playing at a very high level. A lot of respect for him and the things they're doing with him. And so, you know, it's always going to be a challenge. You know, this league is littered with a ton of good players. And so, you know, those guys always present challenges. And when you have a little bit less time to prepare, those challenges become even tougher. But, you know, they got a challenge with us as well, because we got good players and good coaches as well. And so, you know, it should be a really good battle. I look forward to it. Really look forward to how rowdy it's going to be over in that stadium tomorrow night. And so, yeah, but a lot of respect for how Jaden Daniels is playing quarterback and, you know, doing it at a high level very early in his career.
Jaden Daniels, he's been so awesome, but he's still a rookie. How do you take advantage of a rookie quarterback?
Yeah, you know, obviously rookies, you know, in this league haven't seen everything, and that, you know, different giving them different challenges, giving them different things, giving them different looks, to make it as challenging as possible, you know, so he's not comfortable back there. How do you make a quarterback uncomfortable? You make him uncomfortable by being able to hit him in the pocket. And also, you know, not letting him, you know, see what he thinks he's seeing. So, you know, again, we'll have to be on it because this is a good football team, and I know they got good coaches and good players. We'll have to be on it, and that's, you know, that's what we're working on today, tomorrow, and into tomorrow night.
You know, Nick, obviously one of the ways to make your own quarterback the most comfortable he can be is give him the five best offensive linemen he can have. Mulata comes to mind. Looks like it's trending in the right direction. Do you expect Jordan Mulata to play tomorrow night?
Yeah, we'll see. He's working hard. He's worked so hard, and we have great doctors. We have great trainers. We have great strength staff that has worked so hard with him to get him to a position where, you know, we're saying we'll see. You know, last week obviously we couldn't say that. This week, you know, we're getting closer and closer. And you know, but like I said, we have another day to figure it out, and you know, we'll see as we continue on this week.
Nick, I know you got far more important things in your mind, but I got to ask you a question related to Saquon that's just bogging me. We looked it up a day or two ago. Could not believe that Saquon Barkley is not in the top 15 right now for league MVP halfway through the year. Can you make any sense of Saquon Barkley not being in the top 15 for MVP?
Well, I guess I would ask, what publication is that?
Well, it's all over the place, all sorts of. It's all the quarterbacks.
It's the betting odds and all that.
Yeah, betting odds. It's quarterback. It's like, what in the world? I mean, he has been, in my opinion, and I mean this is no disrespect to anyone else in your team, your own team, I think he's been clearly your best player. I think he's been one of the two or three best in the whole league so far this year.
Yeah, and again, I don't look into all that stuff all that much because I think it has a way of evening itself out as the season goes on, and You know, like I was, as you heard me, I was a little surprised to hear that. But, you know, obviously I think his play is a clear indicator of how good he's played so well, you know, from the moment he stepped into this team. And, you know, I don't think we're to a point to even talk about MVP and stuff like that yet. But when it comes to that point, I know I'll be advocating for some of the guys on our football team.
Nick, we've been rejoicing about the play of our defense. Will our defense have an advantage for the zone read stuff that the Commanders' Jaden Daniels runs because Jalen is so good with that stuff and they see it in OTAs and camp?
Yeah, I think that's always helpful. I definitely think that's always helpful. I think, you know, going back to when I was a college coach and coaching on defense, you would play against these triple option teams, and you're like, man, this is tough going out there.
Yeah.
And if you had a team that ran triple option, it was a little easier for you to defend it. And so I think that's a fair statement. And that's you know, because we've done that and they've seen that in OTAs, like you said, and training camp. But you know, again, you know, when it gets in the season, as you know, you're going against each other less and less,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting ready for the teams that you're playing. And so, obviously, Jaden Daniels and the way they do zone reads and the way they do RPOs and those different things is going to provide a challenge because, you know, this is a good offense and, you know, you're getting ready for different teams week in, week out. And so, we'll have a challenge, and I know our guys are going to be up for that challenge. We've worked hard to this point of the week to get ready for that, but make no mistake about it, it's going to be a challenge for us because it's a good team.
Hey, Nick, final thing here. You know, speaking of a good team, first one, in my opinion, you've played in a while. Doesn't mean you try harder, doesn't mean necessarily you prepare any differently, but do you feel something different when you know it's mid-November, it's getting a little cold, division, at least for the moment, is on the line tomorrow night? Do you feel a little something different when it's a game of that magnitude against a quality club?
You know, every opportunity in the NFL is so precious, right? You only play 17 games, so it's so exciting every time you step out into the field, and the preparation and the work, like you pour everything you have into each week, and so like every game feels the biggest game for us now. But that being said, you know, I can't wait for a Thursday night game in our stadium. Like that, how awesome is that against a division opponent? And I love what you said. Like this time, these are the best memories I have of football dating back to when I'm a kid. You know, it's cold. The leaves are falling off the trees and almost off the trees. There's not a lot of games that I remember as a kid or growing up. Like you remember the ones that are cold, that are dreary, that are like gloomy all day, like, you know, going into it. That's my upbringing in the Northeast,
yeah.
You know, Northeast football growing
so
up. So, you know, that you just feel like, hey, this is football season. Like what an unbelievable opportunity for us to go out there. So we're excited, no doubt, to be playing a good opponent on Thursday night at home. And like you said, like, yeah, it just feels like football.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Nick, good luck tomorrow night. Big game. I hope you get some sleep afterwards and maybe even enjoy a little bit extra time with your family, obviously, with a few, if you're not days off, but extra days before the next contest. Good luck, Nick.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is, Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni.
There he was, Nick Sirianni, this morning with Joe and John as they get set for the Commanders, joking about a lack of sleep this week here, which I imagine that those Thursday games got to be not just rough on the players, but the coaches. Like, I can't imagine that he even goes home, right?
Yeah, and I was just thinking, like, what are we going to do Sunday? We ain't got nothing to do.
We got football.
I mean, we got football.
Bills, but, Chiefs.
Like, man, we ain't got to get up early or nothing. It's kind of a free Sunday.
Well, we got it, but we have a longer Thursday.
Yeah,
we're doing a show tomorrow, then we're doing the pregame.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Then we got to wake up the next morning.
We
and
got
go to
double
work
tomorrow.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all right. Double
we get
work
the
tomorrow.
Rest.
215-592-9494. Let's go to Paul in Chester County, who's up on WIP. Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing? Good afternoon.
Good morning, Paul. Or afternoon now. What's up?
Yeah, I got a lot, man, but I'm going to keep it quick. I think that we're not giving Jalen enough credit. What they're saying, he has great receivers. you have to throw the ball to those great receivers. That should count for something. But nobody ever says that. They just, everybody keeps saying what great receivers he has and everything else. Saquon Barkley, he has to set it up so Saquon can run. I think Jalen deserves more credit than he gets.
Well, and I'll jump off the point you made about getting it to his receivers. If this was dinking and dunking and it was a lot of yak right there just running after the catch for 40 or 50 yards, then I'd be like, all right, you know, most guys could do this. But he's putting the ball down the field, 30, 40-yard bombs on dimes. Like, that's mostly him.
Yes, exactly. And I don't see the credit coming for that. I know it's his job, but, hey, man, still pay the dude. You know, give him his yards. That's the way I feel about it, you know?
Yeah, I just think people, we've missed the mark a little bit. We got so down on the beginning of the season, and then it was like, well, now they're going to run more. And I think we've kind of missed the mark on just how good his season has become here, you know, over the course of the last nine games. All right, Paul, what are you thinking today for Combo-Con? We're looking for a weird food combination. What do you got?
Okay, one quick point. I want to tell Hugh something. Hey, Hugh.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Every Sunday, when I'm watching the game, we drink out of our autographed Hugh Douglas beer glasses that I've had.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, yeah. I got to find them.
I don't have one of those.
I got to find them. I got some. I got you, dog.
When you left Philly, we put them away. And when you came back, man, my wife went downstairs and got them and broke them out.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, I do.
They're on the table every Sunday, man.
Nice.
That's pretty cool. He saved them. If it was me, I would have got rid of them when you left for Atlanta. I would have got rid of them. Paul, what do you got for us? Weird food combo.
I got pizza and spam. People put spam on pizza. I think that's disgusting.
No, you know what's funny? A friend of mine has a pizza place in Atlanta. And yesterday, and I meant to text him. I forgot. I think I'm going to text him after this. They have oxtail pizza.
Oh.
Yes, the same thought, but obviously it's pretty good because people like it.
Well, people are ordering, I guess.
I've never heard of I've never.
That's a weird food combo.
Yeah, oxtail pizza.
That is a weird one. Paul, good
but
phone call.
Yeah,
right. That is. The spam thing is just bizarre. Paul, appreciate it. 215-592-9494. Back to the phones coming up after we talk to Elliot Shore Parks. Joel Embiid, your reaction to what he said last night about trolling us about his ability to play in back-to-backs, his first game last night. Are we underrating the season Jalen Hurts is having? We'll get to a big Phillies rumor coming up at 1. Elliot, we need your weird food combos for Combo-Con. 215-592-9494. Live today at Klondike Kate's in Newark, Delaware on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yes, whether you're a tailgate at the stadium or hosting at home with friends and family, nothing beats Hatfield Pork for game day eats. Good save there, Joe. From marinated pork tenderloins to bacon, ground pork and sausage, Hatfield has all the game day winners. Whip up a cheesy chorizo dip or bacon-wrapped tater tots and bring the flavor to your party. This weekend, make sure pork is on your fork. Visit simplyhatfield.com for the best game day recipes and to find a store near you. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. The Sleigh Bar. Come check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. I can tell you who would love it here right now, Hugh. A guy that we know that is a big Christmas guy. Christmas season, Christmas music. Who do you think? If we work with someone. Big Christmas guy. In fact, when I was listening to he and James Seltzer on Saturday, Go Birds, they actually played some Christmas music on their show.
Wait a minute. You mean ESP?
That's right.
He's a Christmas guy.
Oh, he's a huge Christmas guy. Elliot Shure Parks, his call in, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to this fifth C. That's Color, Cut, Clarity, Carrot, and Cozy. Elliot joins us now as we discuss a huge game between the Eagles and the Commanders, and we got to get his thoughts on Joel Embiid as well. Elliot, how you doing today?
Man, come on, Hugh. You didn't know I was a Christmas guy?
I did not know you were a big Christmas guy, dude. My fault. I can't stand Christmas.
The second we get Thanksgiving out of the way, we can get like to the Christmas season. Like, that's when the true spirit begins. So I'm pumped, man. It's the best time of the year.
Why are you being a Grinch, Hugh?
I'm not just saying. I'm just like, I just don't like Christmas. I have a bunch of reasons why I don't like. I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, but I'll be the first one to say it.
I mean, you are.
I'm not a Grinch.
I mean, that's a Grinch thing
like
to
I
say.
I feel like I picture you dressing up as Santa. Like, you got the beard and what you do for now. I guess once the defense
When I did dress up as Santa, I was forced to. It was in my, I guess it was in my, job description when I got here.
Yeah, Rod, if you're listening right now, we got to get Hugh with Santa before the holidays. All right, Elliot, let's get to it. All right, let's talk about Jalen Hurts before we get to the game. Elliot, it kind of hit me this week, and I heard you yesterday a little bit with the afternoon show talking about Jalen, and it feels to me like we're missing the boat a little bit here as a fan base. I think we're missing the season he's having. My theory is, it's a couple theories. One, all the stars around him, Saquon. Two, he started off poorly, so we kind of still have that in our head. But if you look up in totality, Elliot, he's having a really good season, and his numbers through nine games, not that different than they were 2 years ago when everyone here thought he was the MVP. What do you think on the full season for Jalen now when you add it all together? Because it looks to me like it's better than we've discussed it.
Yeah, I think there's more reason to feel confident about Jalen Hurts as a franchise quarterback now than there was in 2022. In 2022, he probably played better, like the team was better in some ways, so I understand why there was more excitement. They made it all the way to the Super Bowl. But I think right now he looks and is playing more like a sustainable long-term quarterback than he was in 2022. In 2022, he didn't have as much pre-snap responsibility. That was Jason Kelce. That was the offensive line, right? Now, he's kind of controlling everything out there. So while I know that he's only throwing it 20 times a game, and I get that post-snap he's not doing as much as he probably was in 2022, he has a lot to do with how successful this team has been. He's been taking care of the ball for the most part, obviously not last week, but for the most part he's been taking care of the ball. And, you know, we don't talk about it anymore, but they're awesome against the blitz this year. And that was a main problem that they had last year. So I think Jalen, I agree with you, the beginning of the season, you know, first impressions last, I get all that. But the quarterback I've seen from the first day of training camp to now, I think is a quarterback that they can have as their franchise quarterback for a really long time.
So Elliot, is it safe to say that you're not alarmed by the fact that they've kind of dialed the offense back a little bit for him? Because, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing. It's more closer to – what he was in 2022 as opposed to what they tried to do last year, so you don't have a problem with that?
So, you know, I think it's definitely a fair concern to raise. He's not out there throwing it 45 times a game. You know, that's not what he is, right? But I think the true answer to that, we're not going to know until the season is over, because if they can win this way, it doesn't really matter how they win. They're playing well. He's making big plays in big spots. He's been really good on third down. He has more runs for first downs than any other quarterback in the NFL. So for me, it comes down to, you know, playoff, fourth quarter, if there's like a minute to go and they have to throw the ball, can he do it then? I don't care if he does it. You know, I don't need him to do it before then, but I don't have a problem with how they're running it. There's just going to be special moments where he has to step up, and that will really dictate whether or not he's the guy.
Yeah, and I also think some of it is context, right? Like they have a good defense now, and they've been in games where they've been ahead, right? I'm looking at the attempts now for the season. He's played nine games, the exact same amount, Elliot, as Jared Goff and Justin Herbert. They've all played nine games. All three of their teams have winning records. All three quarterbacks are good, none of them are throwing the ball that much. Like, Goff and Herbert have thrown it 241 times, Hurts 235. It's basically the same thing through nine games. But, like, with those guys, I just feel like we're locked into everything Jalen, and we're not, like, looking around the league. Like, good teams with running games don't throw the ball 45 times a game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, by the way, I think if you ask any caller, any NFL fan, any national pundit, if Jaden Daniels is like a long-term solution for Washington, I think almost everybody would say yes, right? They have a great young quarterback, franchise changing. Like, he doesn't throw the ball that much either. They're 27th in the league in attempts. So it's not like he's out there throwing it 45 times a game, carrying them up and down the field. He's been awesome for sure. But, yeah, this idea that, you know, Jalen is being handled in a way other quarterbacks aren't, I just don't think is true.
All right, Elliot, let's look forward to tomorrow night, the Commanders game. What's your feeling a day away from the game? Because the way I look at it, it's they have to win this game to win the NFC East. I know there could go down to Washington and win in December, but like, to me, you got to hold serve at home. And I look at Washington's schedule. They've got some gimmies on there. I mean, they play some bad teams, so they're probably going to get to 10 wins regardless of what happens with the Eagles game. If the Eagles want to win this division, it feels like it's got to be tomorrow night. And I think they're in a good spot at home on a short week, and they played far fewer snaps, you know, their defense at least, than the Commanders a few days ago back on Sunday. What's your feeling on the importance and where you think the Eagles are at heading into the game?
So I feel really good about where this team is at. Just being around them the past few weeks, being in that locker room after they beat Dallas, being at the NovaCare yesterday, I really think they're ready for this moment. I think there is a world where both teams play a great game and they lose. And, you know, you're right that there is big time implications for that. But in terms of what I'm expecting, I think they're going to win the game. I think they're a better team than Washington. I think they have better players. I think they should have a better quarterback, which in a second I'll ask you guys something about that. And then I think they have a better head coach. So I think it's a game they should win. But going into it, my biggest thought, I'm curious where you guys are on this, is like this one's on Jalen. Like we just talked a minute ago about how, you know, it doesn't matter how much he's throwing it. Is he the guy? Look at these other – tomorrow, he can't let Jaden Daniels be the better quarterback. Doesn't mean he has to throw it 40 times. Doesn't mean he has to have 400 yards. It just means that when we watch that game, they can't end the game, and we can't be sitting there and saying, Jaden Daniels outplayed Jalen. It's his house, the big game. He's an older player. He's been in playoff games. Like, tomorrow, he has to be the better quarterback.
I agree with that. And, Elliot, I'll spin into this, too. He's got to not be the one that makes the mistake, right? Like
exactly.
one of them is probably going to make a mistake tomorrow night, whether it's a fumble or it's an interception or whatever. Hugh, I don't know what the statistics are going to be at the end of the game, right? Because one team might have a good running game. Hugh, Jalen can't make the mistake tomorrow night. Like, Jaden's the rookie in the game. Like, this is where, Hugh, the Eagles should have an advantage that their quarterback is in year five, right? Like, and their quarterback has played nine NFL games. He's got to take care of the football tomorrow night.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that what you're trying to say is kind of like what Ross Tucker said earlier.
Don't try to do too much. Yeah.
Just play within yourself. I think that has been shown on more than one occasion, especially when you talk about the way that the defense played last week and how the offense finally got back on track, that you don't have to do a whole lot for this team. You have enough talent around you that you don't have to go out there and you don't have to play hero ball. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Don't put the ball in harm's way, which he has been doing for the most part for the last couple of weeks. He has been putting the ball in harm's way. And just go out there and let the playmakers make plays.
Elliot, let's spin to the defense here. How good is this defense? Like, right now, how good are you willing to say they are? Because the numbers are ridiculous right now. Like, they're top five in a lot of categories across the whole NFL, but there also is the reality that they've played a lot of just wretched offenses, right? The Cowboys with Cooper Rush can't move the ball. The Giants, they're terrible. The Browns were terrible. So how do you parse? Like, how good do you think this defense actually is? Because the tests are about to start now with Daniels and Stafford and Lamar.
So I think they're very good. I think just from a confidence level, they're better than they were in 2022. I know 2022 they had a better pass rush. They got all those sacks. But just in terms of my confidence level in a defense, I think this unit is better. I think the secondary is outstanding. They're getting way better linebacker play than I think they did in 2022. And that's offsetting the fact that they probably don't have a dominant defensive line. But I will say, and this is where I agree with you, on the defense is a luxury thing. They can have an awesome defense, and they do. But asking them to win games against great offenses is not a fair ask. Like, tomorrow's on the Eagles' offense. Washington's defense is not that good. It is not fair to expect the Eagles to win this game 20-17. Like, they could, right? Like, the defense could go out there and do it. I'm not saying they couldn't, but the reason that they have having a great defense is more of a luxury is it doesn't really matter against great quarterbacks. It's helpful, but it's not the way to win the game. So I think they have a great defense. I really do. But it's still on the offense to take this team where it needs to go.
You know what I like about you, ESP? It's your wordsmith play. The way that he plays with words, man. I couldn't have said that any better than what he just said it.
So what yeah. do we, well, next time we do the discussion, you just want to take Elliot?
I'm going to go ahead and take Elliot. I'm just going to let Elliot speak.
Kyle, I
didn't need that from you. Not right now.
Look, if there's one thing I've learned since Hugh's gotten here, it's be on the Hugh side of the argument. Because Hugh's right quite a bit. So
I'm trying to tell him.
Better, I appreciate it. But you're the one that has
it. He definitely said it better.
Well, yeah, he did, actually.
He definitely. All right. He's a wordsmith.
Elliot.
Eminominee.
You're not. Before we go any further, Elliot, we need your reaction on that Embiid last night. Elliot, I didn't expect him to come back and look great. You know, he's always kind of out of shape when he has a play for a basketball shape. But after the game, alluding to the idea maybe he was trolling everyone with the back-to-backs, what's your reaction there? I just feel like, why? Like, if you can't play back-to-backs, okay. If you can, okay. But, like, I don't understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, I guess I would just say, like, Joel is such a great player, and he's accomplished so much for this city, but, like, it's not funny anymore. Like, the trolling about when you're going to play, saying, I'll never play it back-to-back again. They're going to have to take my knee brace from me so I'm not out there. And then the first time we're presented one, it's like, well, you know me, I was just kidding. Or if he does play, and look, I would prefer he plays. I don't want to watch the Sixers without Joel. But then what was this last month all about? Like, all this talk of a plan and try to convince us, well, actually, it's a really good thing if he doesn't play all the time, and he's going to be better for the playoffs. And then the first time there's a back-to-back, he's out there. I've defended this organization. I do think what they accomplished over the past years has been understated or underappreciated by the fans. Like, they really have accomplished quite a bit. But right now, I don't see any reason to be optimistic. Like, the handling of Joel is weird. The way they're talking about it is incredibly frustrating. And the truth is, Joel's probably just cooked. And so we'll see what happens this year. But it's been about as discouraging a start to the season. And last night only added to it.
It really has been. And that's even with their first-round pick, McCain, playing well and looking like a player. That just shows you what the other guys have done. Yeah. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. And we will see you tomorrow night at the pregame show.
Sounds good. Can't wait. See you guys then.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks. Yeah, I would frame it like this. You know, Elliot says it's not funny anymore. It's tough for me to take Joel seriously, Hugh, when he doesn't seem to take all this seriously.
It's very confusing. And you know, the unfortunate thing about all of this and the timing of it is we just come off the back of the Marcus Hayes situation. That's what we're going to call it now.
The situation?
The Marcus Hayes situation.
Not Marcus Gate?
Marcus Hayes situation sounds better.
All right, you go.
The Marcus Hayes situation sounds better. And you know how serious he wanted to be taken.
Sure.
In that sense, which I totally get. I get he wants to be taken serious, but then you come back on the performance that you had last night and just say you're trolling everybody.
Yeah.
That's very confusing. That's not consistent with the emotions that you displayed just a week ago, in my opinion.
Why troll your own fan base?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I can't.
Knowing how passionate this fan base is and how pointed they could be, you know, you had a lot of people, you know, come to your defense in the Marcus Hayes situation.
Sure.
And now you sit there and say, oh, maybe I was just playing. We'll see tonight.
I don't think he's going to play. They're listed as a 9.5-point underdog. I mean, the Cavs are really good. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
If he's in, I don't think they're a 9.5-point home underdog. I don't think he's playing tonight. I think he's just – it's just tough to take him seriously when he doesn't take all of this seriously.
It's amazing how somebody who has been here as long as he's been
doesn't
here –
doesn't get it.
He ain't got it yet.
And he's not going to.
Or doesn't care. And you know what helps him not care, though, Joe? You know what helps him really not care?
What's that?
$190 million.
Yeah. I bet you would like $199 to care.
You know, I'm watching that game last night, and I know he's hurt, and I know he hasn't played, but I'm looking at the effort, and I was like, damn.
$190.
He got $190 million in offseason. I was a little jealous.
Of course you were.
When I'm looking, I'm like, damn, I'm bust my ass.
215.
I bust my ass to get to this point. He hurt and get paid.
215-592-9494.
He went through a whole medical procedure. He went through an exam.
It's a joke.
And they still gave him $190 million.
The organization's a joke. All right, we need your answer for Combo-Con today. Looking for the weirdest food combos. The grand prize that we will give away coming up in, I think next week we'll have it because we'll have all our qualifiers. We will have ComboCon, Midday Show's Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway. It's your chance to win Jack Daniel's Yeti Cooler, Cornell Set, and Giant Jenga, a Gerhardt smoker, and a 55-inch TV. Of course, these great giveaways, Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey, where you can find $3 off 750 milliliters of Black Label and $2 off Jack flavors at your fine wine and good spirit stores, and Gerhardt's Appliances, your Black Friday headquarters and the heart of kitchen for over 80 years. ComboCon today, got a qualifying prize for you with your answer. Best one today wins and gets in for the grand prize. All right, before we go any further, Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. All right, Kyle, let's check in on a couple of these. Back, Kyle's back in the studio today. We're at Klondike Kate's. So the first poll today was, have we underrated the season Jalen Hurts has been having? And people are correct on this one, 61% yes. But Kyle, you put up a second poll about who the Eagles' MVP this season is. How's that one going?
It's going the way that that you should expect, the right way.
So what do we got? So we had three choices here, Hurts,
yeah, Hurts, Barkley,
Barkley, Brown.
A.J. Brown. We've gotten some write-ins for Zach Bond, which I think those people are delusional. But Saquon Barkley's got 86% of the vote, as he should.
Well, I disagree with that.
Yeah, why? How?
Because he's a running back.
So what?
Well, but there was literally a series where he didn't play and they scored.
Oh, Joe, you're talking about one series in a season of nine games.
Look, Saquon, he's a great player, but he's not the MVP of the team.
No. Okay. When we look at this Eagles offense, we've talked about all year that they win with Jalen, not necessarily because of. He's won, I think, one game. There's been one game this year where I think you say, you won that game because of Jalen.
The Bengals game.
You win because of Saquon Barkley. There's no question about it. I mean, this offense, we had an offensive lineman tell us that they need to simplify this offense and have the quarterback throw the ball less. Like, this offense runs the best when they're limiting Hurts' impact. That, like, automatically eliminates him from MVP discussion.
Well, that's good context for it. But, like, if they lost Saquon, they could win a game. If they lost Jalen, their chances to win would be dramatically
decreased. No, they are 7-2 way more because of Saquon than because of Jalen Hurts. It's not even a question.
They were 10-1, and Saquon was on a different team last year.
It's not like they
weren't winning games before the running back got here. They've been winning games since Jalen Hurts became a starting
quarterback. But this is why it's phony baloney. Because remember, Jalen Hurts was Mr. MVP front runner when they were 10-1. We all knew he wasn't having a great season.
Well, he wasn't.
Right. Okay. So, but like, say, I'm talking about the Eagles team this season.
Yes.
The reason that they're 7-2, it's because of Saquon Barkley.
I believe Jalen and AJ are more important than Saquon.
This is where it's just gotten completely overboard. Like,
I think we've gone overboard on Saquon.
No,
I got the camera on morning telling me he should be the NFL MVP.
Well,
he has
a better case. I think if we're being honest about this and not just going off of where we know they're going to vote, because gotten ridiculous. The voting for MVP is absurd. Like, set your watch to what it's going to be.
Because you take running backs off
quarterback,
teams.
It's a quarterback.
Yes, you take running backs off
title.
Teams. The point spread moves a half a point.
No, so it's easy to just say it's a quarterback title. That's because people have made it that. Shouldn't be the case.
No, what it is you take away we've watched this before. You take away quarterbacks and teams crumble. You take away running backs and
Not this team. Not this team.
But obviously this team.
What happened to the Niners? Thought Christian McCaffrey to start the season.
This team we haven't had a chance to see it. Hopefully we don't, right?
Well,
we don't want either of these guys.
Of course not.
I think they'd have a far better chance to win games if it was Jalen and Kenny Gainwell rather than Kenny Pickett and Saquon.
I'm going to throw you numbers that totally cuts that out from its legs.
What do you got?
Eagles start 2-2. Hurts' attempts, 34, 30, 38, 30. 2-2, right? Turnover machine. They get to the bye week. They change the offense.
Mm-hmm.
25 attempts, 14 attempts, 20 attempts, 24 attempts, 20. And you know what happened? The offense got great.
Sure, but he was still making the 24 attempts, not Kenny Pickett. Like, you could lose Saquon and move the football. If you lose Jalen, Pickett's not good.
Pickett can hand the ball off to our MVP.
Yeah, but I think you're discounting how important those 24 dropbacks are. They're darn important.
Well, Saquon sets the table for the entire offense.
What do you think?
I think that the perfect example to kind of debunk this argument is to look at the Washington Commodores and what they have at the quarterback. Like, the quarterback, they drafted him, and now we are talking about the Commodores in a fight with us for number one in the division. And at one point, they were the number one team in the division. So I think that – You have to have that position, and that's why when you talk about the MVP voting, it's always the quarterback.
I think we conflate best player and most valuable player. I understand how great Saquon is as an individual player.
Yeah, he's a great player, but he's not the most valuable player.
Quarterback's always more important.
Daniels is the Commanders' MVP, yes. Saquon is ours.
I disagree.
I mean, I think it's blatantly obvious.
If tomorrow night Saquon doesn't play, and tomorrow night Jalen Hurst doesn't play, they have a better chance if Saquon's
out. No, dude,
there.
If Saquon's out, we're screwed.
Oh,
screwed.
All right, 215. I disagree. Where do you come down to this? 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Thank you. Who's your call? What's up?
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
I want to say that I feel like the season is underappreciated for Jalen Hurts, and I know, like, the city of Philadelphia, like, I know he started off rocky. We're gonna be hard on you when you don't do well, and we know from the season he had from the Super Bowl run. When the city knows what you can do, we're gonna be hard on you. So, from him starting off rocky, it was right for us to be on Jalen Hurts, but now he's right in the ship. But the fact of the matter is, I heard Steph starting to say this earlier. It took the words right out of my mouth. The national media is always going to be against Philadelphia. They're always going to be against Jalen Hurts. These commentators, you know, Widow Sims, you know, Nick Wright, those guys like them, they're going to always be against Jalen Hurts. I don't know for what reason. I know he wasn't a first-round draft pick.
I think that's a part of it. I think sometimes people, they don't want to move off their first take, right? Like, whatever, if they thought a player stunk and then he's good, they don't want to kind of, like, acknowledge it. I think that's a lot of it.
And even when he's played good, like, Jalen Hurts has been playing better than most of these quarterbacks in the NFL this year. And, you know, we don't say nothing about Mahomes have been mediocre in all of his games, but they've won because they have a complete team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they look past that, you know, even with Josh Allen. Like, these guys are winning because they have complete teams. And Jalen Hurts, he gets the benefit of the doubt. He does have stars, but a lot of these other teams have stars too. So I say that to say that we've been fair for Jalen Hurts. You know, we're going to be the city of Philadelphia. We like hard workers. When we know you can work hard, we're going to be harder. And Jalen Hurts, I heard Steph say this also. He's been proving people wrong since he came in the NFL. And I want to see where he takes this at, starting with tomorrow with this big game. And I don't want to see him get in the way of himself in this game coming up.
Yeah, we don't need to hear a ball. No, Terrence, you're
offense.
Yeah, you're right. And look, I think it's a. We were appropriate, Hugh, in September when he was playing poorly and he was turning the ball over too much. All those turnover-worthy plays, it was appropriate. I use the analogy. It's almost like the train is moving and we're like trying to run and catch up. Like, I think it's almost like a few weeks ago it shifted. And I don't know if everyone's caught on to how well compared to the other quarterbacks he now looks.
Well, I think part of it is because, and the reason why it's harder for people to see the shift, is because of Saquon Barkley.
And like Kyle said, they have thrown it less, but he has been done a lot on those throws he's had.
And I know it has been said a lot how this team could always run the ball. Man, this just is different. It's different with Saquon. It looks different. It has people excited so much so.
Well, he could do it all by himself. He doesn't need a committee.
Yes,
like, it's all him.
Yes,
get it.
And he's brought excitement to a city that has been screaming for somebody to run the ball for the last couple months.
Yeah.
Years, I should say.
And he's a great player. Like, they've gone from running back by committee to one guy carrying the load.
Bonafide.
He's great. I mean, he's playing like an all-pro. He might be the best back in the whole league this year. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop it. We'll come back. Your phone calls on all this. Jalen Hurts, if we underrated the season he's having, your take on who the team MVP is. I don't think it's quite clearly Saquon Barkley, even though he's been their best player. I think that if they lost him, they could still win games. Jalen's the quarterback. That holds more weight with me. Your calls on all this, the Embiid situation, which is just so discouraging. He just doesn't get it. Those comments last night, we'll play them again, the 1 o'clock hour, our joke. And when we get back, we got to dive into this. Hugh, we got our first honest-to-goodness Phillies rumor of the offseason, like a real one. One guy could be out, and who could be replacing him? We'll tell you about that next, and I love it. I think this is a good idea for the Phillies. All coming up, 215-592-949 for Midday Show, live from Klondike Cates on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. We're live today. Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. The Sleigh Bar. Come check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. I can tell you who would love it here right now, Hugh. A guy that we know that is a big Christmas guy. Christmas season, Christmas music. Who do you think? If we work with someone. Big Christmas guy. In fact, when I was listening to he and James Seltzer on Saturday, Go Birds, they actually played some Christmas music on their show.
Wait a minute. You mean ESP?
That's right.
He's a Christmas guy.
Oh, he's a huge Christmas guy. Elliot Shure Parks, his call in, brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to this fifth C. That's color, cut, clarity, carrot, and cozy. Elliot joins us now as we discuss a huge game between the Eagles and the Commanders, and we got to get his thoughts on Joel Embiid as well. Elliot, how you doing today?
Man, come on, Hugh. You didn't know I was a Christmas guy?
I did not know you were a big Christmas guy, dude.
The second we get Thanksgiving out of the way, we can get to the Christmas season. Like, that's when the true spirit begins. So I'm pumped, man. It's the best time of the year.
Why are you being a Grinch, Hugh?
I'm not just saying. I'm just like, I just don't like Christmas. I have a bunch of reasons why I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'm not the only one, but I'm not a Grinch.
I mean, that's a Grinch thing to say.
I feel like I can picture you dressing up as Santa. Like, you got the beard and what you do for now. I guess once the defense
When I did dress up as Santa, I was forced to. It was in my job description when I got here.
Yeah, Rod, if you're listening right now, we got to get Hugh with Santa before the holidays. All right, Elliot, let's get to it. All right, let's talk about Jalen Hurts before we get to the game. Elliot, it kind of hit me this week, and I heard you yesterday a little bit with the afternoon show talking about Jalen, and it feels to me like we're missing the boat a little bit here as a fan base. I think we're missing the season he's having. My theory is, well, it's a couple theories. One, all the stars around him, Saquon. Two, he started off poorly, so we kind of still have that in our head. But if you look up in totality, Elliot, he's having a really good season, and his numbers through nine games, not that different than they were 2 years ago when everyone here thought he was the MVP. What do you think on the full season for Jalen now when you add it all together? Because it looks to me like it's better than we've discussed it.
Yeah, I think there is more reason to feel confident about Jalen Hurts as a franchise quarterback now than there was in 2022. In 2022, he probably played better, like the team was better in some ways, so I understand why there was more excitement. They made it all the way to the Super Bowl. But I think right now he looks and is playing more like a sustainable long-term quarterback than he was in 2022. In 2022, he didn't have as much pre-snap responsibility. That was Jason Kelce. That was the offensive line, right? Now, he's kind of controlling everything out there. So while I know that he's only throwing it 20 times a game, and I get that post-snap, he's not doing as much as he probably was in 2022, he has a lot to do with how successful this team has been. He's been taking care of the ball for the most part. Obviously not last week, but for the most part, he's been taking care of the ball. And, you know, we don't talk about it anymore, but they're awesome against the blitz this year. And that was a main problem that they had last year. So I think Jalen, I agree with you, the beginning of the season, you know, first impressions last, I get all that. But the quarterback I've seen from the first day of training camp to now, I think is a quarterback that they can have as their franchise quarterback for a really long time.
So Elliot, is it safe to say that you're not alarmed by the fact that they've kind of dialed the offense back a little bit for him? Because, you know, that's kind of what we're seeing. It's more closer to what he was in 2022 as opposed to what they tried to do last year. So you don't have a problem with that?
So, you know, I think it's definitely a fair concern to raise. He's not out there throwing it 45 times a game. You know, that's not what he is, right? But I think the true answer to that, we're not going to know until the season is over. Because if they can win this way, it doesn't really matter how they win. They're playing well. He's making big plays in big spots. He's been really good on third down. He has more runs for first downs than any other quarterback in the NFL. So for me, it comes down to, you know, playoff, fourth quarter. If there's like a minute to go and they have to throw the ball, can he do it then? I don't care if he does it. You know, I don't need him to do it before then, but I don't have a problem with how they're running it. There's just going to be special moments where he has to step up, and that will really dictate whether or not he's the guy.
Yeah, I also think some of it is context, right? Like they have a good defense now, and they've been in games where they've been ahead, right? I'm looking at the attempts now for the season. He's played nine games, the exact same amount, Elliot, as Jared Goff and Justin Herbert. They've all played nine games. All three of their teams have winning records. All three quarterbacks are good, none of them are throwing the ball that much. Like, Goff and Herbert have thrown it 241 times, Hurts 235. It's basically the same thing through nine games. But, like, with those guys, I just feel like we're locked into everything Jalen, and we're not, like, looking around the league. Like, good teams with running games don't throw the ball 45 times a game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, by the way, I think if you ask any caller, any NFL fan, any national pundit, if Jaden Daniels is like a long-term solution for Washington, I think almost everybody would say yes, right? They have a great young quarterback, franchise changing. Like, he doesn't throw the ball that much either. They're 27th in the league in attempts. So it's not like he's out there throwing it 45 times a game, carrying them up and down the field. He's been awesome for sure. But, yeah, this idea that, you know, Jalen is being handled in a way other quarterbacks aren't, I just don't think is true.
All right, Elliot, let's look forward to tomorrow night, the Commanders game. What's your feeling a day away from the game? Because the way I look at it, it's they have to win this game to win the NFCs. I know they could go down to Washington and win in December, but, like, to me, you got to hold serve at home. And I look at Washington's schedule. They've got some gimmies on there. I mean, they play some bad teams, so they're probably going to get to 10 wins regardless of what happens with the Eagles game. If the Eagles want to win this division, it feels like it's got to be tomorrow night. And I think they're in a good spot at home on a short week, and they played far fewer snaps, you know, their defense at least, than the Commanders a few days ago back on Sunday. What's your feeling on the importance and where you think the Eagles are at heading into the game?
So I feel really good about where this team is at. Just being around them the past few weeks, being in that locker room after they beat Dallas, being at the NovaCare yesterday, I really think they're ready for this moment. I think there is a world where both teams play a great game and they lose. And, you know, you're right that there is big time implications for that. But in terms of what I'm expecting, I think they're going to win the game. I think they're a better team than Washington. I think they have better players. I think they should have a better quarterback, which in a second I'll ask you guys something about that. And then I think they have a better head coach. So I think it's a game they should win. But going into it, my biggest thought, I'm curious where you guys are on this, is, like, this one's on Jalen. Like, we just talked a minute ago about how, you know, it doesn't matter how much he's throwing it. Is he the guy? Look at these other – tomorrow, he can't let Jaden Daniels be the better quarterback. Doesn't mean he has to throw it 40 times. Doesn't mean he has to have 400 yards. It just means that when we watch that game, they can't end the game, and we can't be sitting there and saying Jaden Daniels outplayed Jalen. It's his house, the big game. He's an older player. He's been in playoff games. Like, tomorrow, he has to be the better quarterback.
I agree with that. And, Elliot, I'll spin into this, too. He's got to not be the one that makes the mistake, right? Like,
exactly.
one of them is probably going to make a mistake tomorrow night, whether it's a fumble or it's an interception or whatever. Hugh, I don't know what the statistics are going to be at the end of the game, right? Because one team might have a good running game. Hugh, Jalen can't make the mistake tomorrow night. Like, Jaden's the rookie in the game. Like, this is where, Hugh, the Eagles should have an advantage that their quarterback is in year five, right? Like, and their quarterback has played nine NFL games. He's got to take care of the football tomorrow night.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that what you're trying to say is kind of like what Ross Tucker said earlier.
Don't try to do too much. Yeah.
Just play within yourself. I think that has been shown on more than one occasion, especially when you talk about the way that the defense played last week and how the offense finally got back on track, that you don't have to do a whole lot for this team. You have enough talent around you that you don't have to go out there and you don't have to play hero ball. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. Don't put the ball in harm's way, which he has been doing for the most part for the last couple of weeks. He has been putting the ball in harm's way. And just go out there and let the playmakers make plays.
Elliot, let's spin to the defense here. How good is this defense? Like, right now, how good are you willing to say they are? Because the numbers are ridiculous right now. Like, they're top five in a lot of categories across the whole NFL. But there also is the reality that they've played a lot of just wretched offenses, right? The Cowboys with Cooper Rush can't move the ball. The Giants, they're terrible. The Browns were terrible. So how do you parse? Like, how good do you think this defense actually is? Because the tests are about to start now with Daniels and Stafford and Lamar.
So I think they're very good. I think just from a confidence level, they're better than they were in 2022. I know 2022 they had a better pass rush. They got all those sacks. But just in terms of my confidence level in a defense, I think this unit is better. I think the secondary is outstanding. They're getting way better linebacker play than I think they did in 2022. And that's offsetting the fact that they probably don't have a dominant defensive line. But I will say, and this is where I agree with you, on the defense is a luxury thing. They can have an awesome defense, and they do. But asking them to win games against great offenses is not a fair ask. Like, tomorrow's on the Eagles' offense. Washington's defense is not that good. It is not fair to expect the Eagles to win this game 20-17. Like, they could, right? Like, the defense could go out there and do it. I'm not saying they couldn't, but the reason that they have having a great defense is more of a luxury is it doesn't really matter against great quarterbacks. It's helpful, but it's not the way to win the game. So I think they have a great defense. I really do. But it's still on the offense to take this team where it needs to go.
You know what I like about you, ESP? It's your wordsmith play. The way that he plays with words, man. I couldn't have said that any better than what he just said it.
So yeah. Well, next time we do the discuss, you just want to take Elliot?
I'm going to go ahead and take Elliot. I didn't need that from you. Not right now.
Look, if there's one thing I've learned since Hugh's gotten here, it's be on the Hugh side of the argument. Because Hugh's right quite a bit. So
I'm trying to tell him.
Better, I appreciate it. But you're the one that has
it. He definitely said it better.
Well, yeah, he did, actually.
He definitely. All right. He's a wordsmith.
Elliot.
Eminominee.
You're not. Before we go any further, Elliot, we need your reaction on that Embiid last night. Elliot, I didn't expect him to come back and look great. You know, he's always kind of out of shape when he doesn't play for a basketball shape. But after the game, alluding to the idea maybe he was trolling everyone with the back-to-backs, what's your reaction there? I just feel like, why? Like, if you can't play back-to-backs, okay. If you can, okay. But, like, I don't understand what he's talking about.
Yeah, I guess I would just say, like, Joel is such a great player, and he's accomplished so much for this city, but, like, it's not funny anymore. Like, the trolling about when you're going to play, saying, I'll never play a back-to-back again. They're going to have to take my knee brace from me, so I'm not out there. And then the first time we're presented one, it's like, well, you know me, I was just kidding. Or if he does play, and look, I would prefer he plays. I don't want to watch the Sixers without Joel. But then what was this last month all about? Like, all this talk of a plan and try to convince us, well, actually, it's a really good thing if he doesn't play all the time, and he's going to be better for the playoffs. And then the first time there's a back-to-back, he's out there. I've defended this organization. I do think what they accomplished over the past few years has been understated or underappreciated by the fans. Like, they really have accomplished quite a bit. But right now, I don't see any reason to be optimistic. Like, the handling of Joel is weird. The way they're talking about it is incredibly frustrating. And the truth is, Joel's probably just cooked. And so we'll see what happens this year. But it's been about as discouraging a start to the season. And last night only added to it.
It really has been. And that's even with their first-round pick, McCain, playing well and looking like a player. That just shows you what the other guys have done. Yeah. Elliot, we appreciate you hopping on. And we will see you tomorrow night at the pregame show.
Sounds good. Can't wait. See you guys then.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks. Yeah, I would frame it like this. You know, Elliot said it's not funny anymore. It's tough for me to take Joel seriously, Hugh, when he doesn't seem to take all this seriously.
It's very confusing. And you know, the unfortunate thing about all of this and the timing of it is we just come off the back of the Marcus Hayes situation. That's what we're going to call it now.
The situation?
The Marcus Hayes situation.
Not Marcus Gate?
Marcus Hayes situation sounds better.
All right, you go.
The Marcus Hayes situation sounds better. And you know how serious he wanted to be taken.
Sure.
In that sense, which I totally get. I get he wants to be taken serious, but then you come back on the performance that you had last night and just say you're trolling everybody.
Yeah.
That's very confusing. That's not consistent with the emotions that you displayed just a week ago, in my opinion.
And why troll your own fan base?
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I can't.
Knowing how passionate this fan base is and how pointed they could be, you know, you had a lot of people, you know, come to your defense in the Marcus Hayes situation.
Sure.
And now you sit there and say, oh, maybe I was just playing. We'll see tonight.
I don't think he's going to play. They're listed as a 9.5-point underdog. I mean, the Cavs are really good. They're undefeated.
Yeah.
If he's in, I don't think they're a 9.5-point home underdog. I don't think he's playing tonight. I think he's just – it's just tough to take him seriously when he doesn't take all of this seriously.
It's amazing how somebody who has been here as long as he's been
doesn't
here –
doesn't get it.
He ain't got it yet.
And he's not going to.
Or doesn't care. And you know what helps him not care, though, Joe? You know what helps him really not care?
What's that?
$190 million.
Yeah. I bet you would like $190 million not to care.
You know, I'm watching that game last night, and I know he's hurt, and I know he hasn't played, but I'm looking at the effort, and I was like, damn.
$190 million.
He got $190 million in offseason. I was a little jealous.
Of course you were.
When I'm looking, I'm like, damn, I'm bust my ass.
215.
I bust my ass to get to this point. He hurt and get paid.
215-592-9494.
He went through a whole medical procedure. He went through an exam.
It's a joke.
And they still gave him $190 million.
The organization's a joke. All right, we need your answer for CombOcon today. Looking for the weirdest food combos. The grand prize that we will give away coming up in, I think next week we'll have it because we'll have all our qualifiers. We will have ComboCon, Midday Show's Ultimate Tailgate Giveaway. It's your chance to win Jack Daniel's Yeti Cooler, Cornell Set, and Giant Jenga, a Gerhardt smoker, and a 55-inch TV. Of course, these great giveaways, Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey, where you can find $3 off 750 milliliters of Black Label and $2 off Jack flavors at your fine wine and good spirit stores, and Gerhardt's Appliances, your Black Friday headquarters and the heart of kitchen for over 80 years. ComboCon today, got a qualifying prize for you with your answer. Best one today wins and gets in for the grand prize. All right, before we go any further, Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. All right, Kyle, let's check in on a couple of these. Kyle's back in the studio today. We're at Klondike Kate's. So the first poll today was, have we underrated the season Jalen Hurts has been having? And people are correct on this one, 61% yes. But Kyle, you put up a second poll about who the Eagles' MVP this season is. How's that one going?
It's going the way that that you should expect, the right way.
So what do we got? So we had three choices here, Hurts, Barkley,
Brown. A.J. Brown. We've gotten some write-ins for Zach Bond, which I think those people are delusional. But Saquon Barkley's got 86% of the vote, as he should.
Well, I disagree with that.
Yeah, why? How?
Because he's a running back.
So what?
Well, but there was literally a series where he didn't play and they scored.
Oh, Joe, you're talking about one series in a season of nine games. Look, Saquon,
he's a great player, but he's not the MVP of the team.
No. Okay. When we look at this Eagles offense, we've talked about all year that they win with Jalen, not necessarily because of. He's won, I think, one game. There's been one game this year where I think you say, you won that game because of Jalen.
The Bengals game.
You win because of Saquon Barkley. There's no question about it. I mean, this offense, we had an offensive lineman tell us that they need to simplify this offense and have the quarterback throw the ball less. Like, this offense runs the best when they're limiting Hurts' impact. That, like, automatically eliminates him from MVP discussion.
Well, that's good context for it. But, like, if they lost Saquon, they could win a game. If they lost Jalen, their chances to win would be dramatically decreased.
No, they are 7-2, way more because of Saquon than because of Jalen Hurts. It's not even a question.
They were 10-1, and Saquon was on a different team last year. They weren't winning games before the running back got here. They've been winning games since Jalen Hurts became a starting
quarterback. But this is why it's phony baloney. Because remember, Jalen Hurts was Mr. MVP front runner when they were 10-1, and we all knew he wasn't having a great season.
Well, he wasn't.
Right. Okay. So, but like, say I'm talking about the Eagles team this season.
Yes.
The reason that they're 7-2, it's because of Saquon Barkley.
I believe Jalen and AJ are more important than Saquon.
This is where it's just gotten completely overboard. Like,
I think we've gone overboard on Saquon. I got the camera all morning telling me he should be the NFL MVP.
Well,
he has
a better case. I think if we're being honest about this and not just going off of where we know they're going to vote, because gotten ridiculous. The voting for MVP is absurd. Set your watch to what it's going to be.
Because you take running backs off
quarterback,
teams.
It's a quarterback.
Yes, you take running backs off
title.
Teams. The point spread moves a half a point.
No, okay, so it's easy to just say it's a quarterback title. That's because people have made it that. Shouldn't be the case.
No, what it is you take away we've watched this before. You take away quarterbacks and teams crumble. You take away running backs and
Not this team.
But obviously this team.
What happened to the Niners? Thought Christian McCaffrey to start the season.
This team we haven't had a chance to see it. Hopefully we don't, right? Well, we don't want either of these guys.
Of course not.
I think they'd have a far better chance to win games if it was Jalen and Kenny Gainwell rather than Kenny Pickett and Saquon.
I'm going to throw you numbers that totally cuts that out from its legs.
What do you got?
Eagles start 2-2. Hurts' attempts, 34, 30, 38, 30. 2-2, right? Turnover machine. They get to the bye week. They change the offense.
Mm-hmm.
25 attempts, 14 attempts, 20 attempts, 24 attempts, 20. And you know what happened? The offense got great.
Sure, but he was still making the 24 attempts, not Kenny Pickett. Like, you could lose Saquon and move the football. If you lose Jalen, Pickett's not good.
Pickett can hand the ball off to our MVP.
Yeah, but I think you're discounting how important those 24 dropbacks are. They're darn important.
Well, Saquon sets the table for the entire offense.
What do you think?
I think that the perfect example to kind of debunk this argument is to look at the Washington Commodores and what they have at the quarterback. Like, the quarterback, they drafted him, and now we are talking about the Commodores in a fight with us for number one in the division. And at one point, they were the number one team in the division. So I think that – You have to have that position, and that's why when you talk about the MVP voting, it's always the quarterback.
I think we conflate best player and most valuable player. I understand how great Saquon is as an individual player.
Yeah, he's a great player, but he's not the most valuable player.
Quarterback's always more important.
Daniels is the Commanders' MVP, yes. Saquon is ours.
I disagree.
I mean, I think it's blatantly obvious if
tomorrow night Saquon doesn't play and tomorrow night Jalen Hurts doesn't play, they have a better chance if Saquon's
no,
not
dude,
there.
If Saquon's out, we're screwed.
Oh,
screwed.
All right, 215. I disagree. Where do you come down to this? 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Terrence in Springfield is up on WIP. Hey, Terrence.
Thank you. Who's your call? What's up?
Terrence, what's up, buddy?
I want to say that I feel like the season is underappreciated for Jalen Hurts. And I know, like, the city of Philadelphia, like, I know he started off rocky. We're going to be hard on you when you don't do well. And we know from the season he had, from the Super Bowl run, when the city knows what you can do, we're going to be hard on you. So, but from him starting off rocky, it was right for us to be on Jalen Hurts. But now he's right in the ship. But the fact of the matter is, I heard stuff starting to say this earlier, it took the words right out of my mouth. The national media is always going to be against Philadelphia. They're always going to be against Jalen Hurts. These commentators, you know, Widow Sims, you know, Nick Wright, those guys like them, they're going to always be against Jalen Hurts. I don't know for what reason. I know he wasn't a first-round draft pick.
I think that's a part of it. I think sometimes people, they don't want to move off their first take, right? Like, whatever, if they thought a player stunk and then he's good, they don't want to kind of, like, acknowledge it. I think that's a lot of it.
And even when he's played good, like, Jalen Hurts has been playing better than most of these quarterbacks in the NFL this year. And, you know, we don't say nothing about Mahomes have been mediocre in all of his games, but they've won because they have a complete team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they look past that, you know, even with Josh Allen, like, these guys are winning because they have complete teams. And Jalen Hurts, he gets the benefit of the doubt. He does have stars, but a lot of these other teams have stars too. So I say that to say that we've been fair for Jalen Hurts. You know, we're going to be the city of Philadelphia, we like hard workers. When we know you can work hard, we're going to be harder. And Jalen Hurts, I heard Steph say this also. He's been proving people wrong since he came in the NFL. And I want to see where he takes this at, starting with tomorrow with this big game. And I don't want to see him get in the way of himself in this game coming up.
Yeah, we don't need to hear a ball. No, Terrence,
you're offense.
Yeah, you're right. And look, I think it's a – we were appropriate, Hugh, in September. When he was playing poorly and he was turning the ball over too much, all those turnover-worthy plays, it was appropriate. I use the analogy, it's almost like the train is moving and we're, like, trying to run and catch up. Like, I think it's almost like a few weeks ago it shifted. And I don't know if everyone's caught on to how well, compared to the other quarterbacks, he now looks.
Well, I think part of it is because, and the reason why it's harder for people to see the shift is because of Saquon Barkley.
And like Kyle said, they have thrown it less, but he has been done a lot on those throws he's had.
And I know it has been said a lot how this team could always run the ball. Man, this just is different. It's different with Saquon. It looks different. It has people excited, so much so.
Well, he could do it all by himself. He doesn't need a committee.
Yes,
like, it's all him. I
yes,
get it.
And he's brought excitement to a city that has been screaming for somebody to run the ball for the last couple months.
Yeah.
Years, I should say.
And he's a great player. Like, they've gone from running back by committee to one guy carrying the load.
Bonafide.
He's great. I mean, he's playing like an all-pro. He might be the best back in the whole league this year. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop it. We'll come back. Your phone calls on all this. Jalen Hurts, if we underrated the season he's having, your take on who the team MVP is. I don't think it's quite clearly Saquon Barkley, even though he's been their best player. I think that if they lost him, they could still win games. Jalen's the quarterback. That holds more weight with me. Your calls on all this, the Embiid situation, which is just so discouraging. He just doesn't get it. Those comments last night, we'll play them again, the 1 o'clock hour, our joke. And when we get back, we got to dive into this. Hugh, we got our first honest-to-goodness Phillies rumor of the offseason, like a real one. One guy could be out, and who could be replacing him? We'll tell you about that next, and I love it. I think this is a good idea for the Phillies. All coming up, 215-592-949 for Midday Show, live from
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.